Hello, and welcome back to the Hawkins Hellfire Collective. This is Devin Grubb.
And Zach Grubb.
And today we are not discussing any specific episode, but as you know, our couple weeks ago, we wrapped up season two. So this will be our brief little overview episode.
We're just going to like talk about our findings from season two, what we think we learned.
What is this, school?
I'm sorry, have you been here for all the other episodes we recorded? This is absolutely school. This is what school is.
That was just funny, the way you worded it.
We write book reports.
I write book reports. I have novels for half of these episodes. So we'll give you like a little refresher. If for some reason you haven't listened to the other episodes, which you totally should, before we go into season three.
Yep. Before we get too deep in it, hit us up on Instagram and let us know what you thought of that new intro.
Yeah. We have an intro song now, thanks to Zach.
I think I'm going to use it in the outro too.
Okay.
I have no idea what I'm doing, but I think it sounds nice. So you guys let us know.
I mean, personally, I feel like it definitely has that like Stranger Things vibe. So that works for me.
It's exactly what I was shooting for. Like an Atari 1600.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So season two. What did we learn from season two?
Don't do backdoor pilots if you have terrible characters.
Yeah, I would say that's the main thing we learned from season two is don't try to fit a backdoor pilot into Stranger Things.
I mean, honestly, so without going into like episode by episode, this season's not bad.
No, not at all.
It's a good season if you take out some stuff.
A lot of Eleven's plotline could have been rearranged to fit in the overall story better.
Yes.
And that's not to say anything about her particular plotline is bad, because I don't want to claim that. It's literally just that one episode.
It's just that one episode, because, I mean, everything else with her, you know, you see her with Hop in the cabin and everything, and it weaves into the story. You can see, you know, what he's got going on his plate besides dealing with, you know, the stuff with the buyers and everything that he always, you know, winds up tied into.
Yeah.
You get a lot of good friendship stuff between...
Good friendship stuff, yeah.
Between Will and Mike.
Yeah, you really do. You really do.
Before it dies.
And some good little rivalry stuff between Lucas and Dustin. That not that you can call it much of a rivalry. I feel like they were setting up Lucas and Max right from the beginning.
Yeah. Well, okay. So we are introduced to new characters this season. We have Max.
Yep.
And Billy, which is her stepbrother.
How tough is it that, like, of all the characters introduced this season, and if you listen at all, I hate Billy. We both hate Billy. But I would still take him over the entire cast of that one episode.
Yeah.
I'm serious. And, like, yeah.
And I would...
Even as a bad guy. Like, just as an awful person.
I agree with that because he helps drive the story with the main group. With Max, specifically.
He's a human villain.
Right.
Which is...
And he's... I feel like he's necessary to things with the plot. You know, and even more necessary for what happens in season four. There's nothing necessary about the Lost Sister episode.
Yeah. And
I don't think so anyway. Like,
say what you will about Billy, and we will say plenty, and I'm sure we're going to keep saying plenty in season three. Mm. But Stranger Things didn't really have a human villain before this.
No, it was always, you know, just the supernatural. Like well, that's not true. Brenner, I would say... As
yes.
human as he is, as you know.
I mean, yes, but like also
terms.
Brenner was a threat. Brenner was a threat that came from outside, kind of. He was a driving force that was chasing down Eleven. Mm-hmm. Whereas Billy is a threat because he is a person who is unstable and does not care
No, he's kind of a threat to all of them because, I mean, and just, is it, I don't know if it's the first episode of this season or the second one, but he, like, essentially tries to run them over with his car while Max is in the passenger seat, and he tries to run them over because he's mad at her about for something. So, yeah, like,
and at that point, he doesn't know who those kids are.
He doesn't know who they are. He's a threatening character from the beginning for everyone.
Right. Whereas Brenner, like, yes, Brenner is a villain. No one here is going to claim Brenner's not a villain.
Right.
But, like, he's kind of this shadowy figure that pulls strings from the background, and he's, like, engrossed in the overarching plot. Billy is just, like, evil. Like, there's no motivation behind Billy other than to be awful.
Right. Like, I'm sure people would argue the opposite, and that's fine. Like, these are our opinions.
Here's the thing. I would say his actions should have no motivations behind them. He's not motivated to protect his sister. He is that way because he is that way. And yes, he was abused, clearly.
Yeah, you see
but
that.
Like, and that's something you can say to explain his actions, but that doesn't mean they have, like, what's the word I was using?
Motivation?
Yeah, they don't have a motivation. This is just like, I am lashing out because I am lashing out.
Yeah. Nobody's going to ever change my mind.
Yeah.
About
racism
Billy.
Is a motivation. I guess.
That's my thing. Like, I feel like, you know, you can like villains and that's totally fine. I like my share of villains. I like my share of bad guys.
Absolutely.
But I can't get past that part of him.
No.
You know, like, and the fact that he tries to attack, like, a 13-year-old kid. Like, come on, dude. You're 18 years old. Like, leave it alone.
Yeah.
I digress.
Welcome to the season 2 wrap-up, where we shit on Billy for an hour straight.
So, they're new characters. We get introduced to Dr. Owens, who is the...
Just a cinnamon roll of a man, really.
He's great. He takes over at Hawkins' lab for Brenner. There's a lot, like, at first you don't know if you can trust him, but he's the only one, like, the only one there who actually cares about Will.
He comes across as genuine from the very beginning, like, and that's part of the reason why you don't know whether or not
if
you should
trust him or, right.
Like, before we had Brenner, who you clearly couldn't trust. Now you've got this guy who really seems like he's trying, and you have to wonder, like, is this a ruse?
Right. Like, what is his motivation?
Yeah, I guess, like, what's he getting out of this?
That's the word of the episode. Motivation.
Motivation.
Like, but I feel like, you know, he has that one instance, and I don't remember, I'm checking my notes now so that I can recall where it was, because it was good, and it's really what made me like him. When I think it's the spy.
Oh, when they're in the boardroom.
When they're in the board, yeah,
and everyone's just like, kill the kid, and he's like, no,
He's like, oh well, you know, Will is connected to the hive mind, so if anything bad happens to Will, then that means that, you know, something will happen to the hive mind
or vice versa.
So they're like, okay, burn it, and he's like, well, no,
I just said
that's gonna hurt my patient. And he's like, well, we need to get this under control. And he's like, you're not doing anything to that until we figure out what's wrong with this kid. Like, that moment kind of solidifies him as a good guy, because he's not willing to just, you know, hurt/kill a kid for science. He's got a heart.
His whole thing is taking care of Will.
Mm-hmm.
And the research comes second to that, because now somebody's life is in danger.
Right.
And his reaction to that boardroom of people is, he's appalled.
Absolutely appalled. I mean, he's a doctor and a scientist, but I feel like in his mind, he's a doctor first. So he's got that, like, doctor-patient code that you should have where he's like, no, I have to make sure that my patient is safe and
do no harm.
Do no harm. Exactly. He took an oath. He's following that oath.
Yeah.
And then
Murray.
Murray. Well, Murray's not. Is he a new character?
He's, was Murray in season one? No.
No, not really.
No, they, Murray he showed was, up to investigate
Barb. Yep. So we got Murray. Good old Murray boy. He's really with Jonathan and Nancy.
He has really grown to be one of my favorite characters of the last three seasons. He really has.
I love Murray.
Yeah.
It's his hands are like daggers, whatever that quote is. I don't really have too much to say on him. I don't anyway.
No, he's just a lot of fun.
He's fun. He helps to drive the Jonathan-Nancy storyline with this season a lot because they're trying to, you know, get justice for Barb.
If it wasn't for the episode with Callie, I would argue that that's the weakest storyline in the season.
Because it's all that... So to me, that stuff is fan service because there was such an uproar about Barb and justice for Barb from season one. And that's what that is. That's getting her, getting them the justice for Barb.
Yeah. You know, like, I mean, it serves a purpose though. We do see Nancy kind of grow in the field that she wants to be in.
In the journalism field. Because she does take her, you know, she takes advice from Murray about stuff.
She's all about investigating.
Watering it down for
the masses.
The masses, that whole spiel, that was a big thing with them. And then the best addition for this season, good old Bob Newby.
Bob Newby.
Bob Newby, we hardly knew ye.
We hardly knew ye.
We hardly knew
ye. That's good.
Thanks. Bob is great. Bob deserved better. He was just, he would have been great.
He's literally too pure for the show. Like, there was no way Bob was going to make it out. And it wasn't just because Sean Astin was playing Bob. Like, there was no way that character was going to get out unscathed. You know what I mean? Like, that makes me worry for Argyle.
No, don't put that in the universe. Don't do that.
I'm just saying.
But don't you think that if he stuck around, like if he survived, he would have been a good help for
season four with Vecna. Huge help with Vecna. Mm-hmm. He would have been the guy to plan this out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because he was able to immediately decipher that like everything that Will had drawn was a map, not just vines or tunnels, which is what they initially thought. He walks in and he's like, well, taken aback at first, like, what is this? Like, and then like he he like sees, he's like, oh well, that's Lover's Lake, and this is a map, and can immediately like pinpoint where things are. So they have to bring him in. He's helpful. He would have been so useful.
I mean, if you think about it, he's basically grown up Will.
Yeah.
You know, without the trauma.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, he's incredibly intelligent, all into puzzles, knows programming code in a time when that was like...
Mm-hmm. Nobody knew that. Yeah.
Like... I don't know. Yeah, honestly, Bob had too many skills.
Right, like Bob was too good, so they were like, oh, we gotta get rid of you.
Bob was the Mary Sue of this season. You got a problem? Bob Newby can fix it.
But I mean, he sacrificed himself for everybody.
Yes, and we are on that train entirely. He knew what was going down.
Yeah,
stood there on purpose.
You can tell. You can kind of tell, like, and it's a testament to Sean Astin as an actor. Like, you can see that in his face when he comes out of the room. Why else would he have stopped? You know what I mean? Like,
he knew they were coming.
He knew he didn't have much time. Owens basically told him that he needed to like, this was your window. You need run to run. Run to the door,
yeah.
Run to the door. And instead of continuing to run to the door, he, you know, when he sees Joyce and it's like, oh, that's so sweet. He sees Joyce. Like, no, he's taking Joyce in because he knows that this is the last thing that he is going to see.
Yep.
He knew immediately. He's like, okay, they're going to get out. And I'm going to take this.
Because if I keep running, they're going to be in danger. If I keep running,
they're going to be in danger. It's just going to keep running after me, which will make it run after them. Like, if they get out, that's all that matters to me. And it's so sad.
Bob got done so dirty.
He got done so dirty.
Necessary, but just dirty.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
On a happier note, we get the start of the most pure and beautiful friendship that there ever was.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the friendship of one Mr. Steve the Hare Harrington and Dustin Dusty Buns Henderson.
Yes. Harrison and Henderson.
I know. It's just, they're just a match made in heaven, man.
They really are.
They're just perfect. I only went on to them because I'm looking at my notes and I'm opened up to a page that says his face opened up and he ate my cat.
Yeah. How do you know that's one of those monsters? His face opened up and he ate my cat.
Oh my God. Because, you know, just to give you a refresher, Dustin found a little baby demodog and tried to raise it as his own, and then he got really big and turned into a demodog, and his face opened up and he ate his cat.
I'm convinced it's the same one that Will spit out.
I know, you're very convinced on that fact.
I feel like it wouldn't make any sense if it was any of the other ones, because how would the little demodogs get into our world?
I get you.
Just saying. Just saying.
There are a bunch of tunnels this season.
Sure. Those little slugs could make their way out of the tunnels. Okay.
I don't know. But anyway, it's a great friendship.
It is. And it's like kind of the driving force of season 3. At least when it comes to the mall.
With that story, yeah. Because I feel like, I mean, we haven't started yet, but like there's three like main
plot lines
of season 3. You have the mall plot, which is, you know, Dustin and Robin and Steve and Erica. And then you have, you know, the lovers, which is Will and Mike and Eleven and Lucas and Max.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have
The adults.
What goes on with John? We really have to revisit, because what goes on with Jonathan and Nancy during this season? Are they're kind of just there?
I don't remember, actually.
Yeah, I don't.
Season 3 was my least favorite.
Yeah, I know.
I'll be interested in seeing if that holds up upon a rewatch.
I honestly do not remember much of season 3 at all. Except for Alexi and his slushy.
Yeah, I've got like a highlight reel in my head. That's about it.
I remember that because I also remember people going off the rails about Alexi, and it's like, but why?
Hey, he was funny. He was really funny.
Funny, but I don't know, whatever. We'll get there when we get there. Okay, so.
So I think that goes through all the new characters. I think the bigger takeaways from season 2 that I would want to get into is like, what are our theories walking out of this? Like, we had a few, like the fact that the smoke monster, the mind flayer, I'm always going to call it the smoke monster, the mind flayer goes into Will, and kind of leaves behind True Sight, which is why he can feel Vecna, because the smoke monster is being controlled by Vecna. Vecna, which we, like, that's what season 4 tells us, that he was in charge the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that would mean that when the Mind Flayer took over Will, it was really Vecna's influence taking over Will.
Mm-hmm.
So they are like inextricably linked at that point.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's so much a theory as me just like putting the pieces together. Like, I feel like that's pretty straightforward.
I mean, it is pretty straightforward. I mean, I feel like if you've watched all the seasons, you can kind of link that. And I mean, that's what we're trying to do in this podcast, to see how how they all connect, since we were told that they all connect.
I am interested in knowing why that's left behind. Like, why can Will still feel Vecna? They got the Mind Flayer out of him.
This is so.
So, like, what's left behind that made it work like that?
Right. And I feel like that needs that. And it's only, like, glossed over at the end of season 4.
Right.
Like, if he, and this is, like, now that I'm thinking about, like, if he could feel Vecna the whole time, what were you doing?
Well, I don't know that he could feel him when he was, you know, in a different state. His hair didn't start staying on the back of his neck until he got back to Hawkins.
Right, because when he does, okay, never mind.
But even so, like, he must have some kind of latent ability in order for that to have been left behind in his head.
Right.
At least that's my take. If it's more just like, oh, you know, they were tied together once, so now they're tied together forever. It's like, that's kind of lazy, I feel like.
That's a cop-out.
Yeah, there's got to be more to it. That's a cop-out.
There needs to be something deeper. And I'm not saying that it needs to be this, like, convoluted thing, but just give me more of a reason than just what you said. Oh, well, they were tied together once, and they're tied together again. No, there needs to be something else. I want more of a reason.
Like, Max couldn't feel Vecna coming, and Vecna was in her dreams.
Right.
You know, Eleven can't feel... Well, actually, it would make sense if Eleven could. I don't think she... Well, she piggybacks. We don't actually know. That doesn't... Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe next season. We'll see. Ooh, the big thing that you found at the end of that episode where Will gets taken over.
It was
over.
The end of episode 3...
Yeah, after the Mind Flayer goes into Will.
So, the end, this is a huge thing for, like, that I think is a tie to season 4. It could be purely coincidental, but I don't think so.
It wouldn't make any sense.
It wouldn't make any sense as to why. So, at the end of episode 3, when the Mind Flayer goes into Will, it cuts to the credits, and when it goes to the credits, you know, sometimes there's a song, sometimes there's silence. In this particular episode, you can clearly hear the chiming of a grandfather clock.
Yeah.
It is distinct. Like, it's not just like, oh, maybe that's a clock. Like, no. It is, those are bongs of a clock that, like, you can picture it.
And it doesn't necessarily sound like the same grandfather clock in season 4 because it's not distorted.
Right.
But I guarantee if you took that exact same soundbite and distorted it,
you would get the sound from season 4. And since there is such a big, like, a big thing with grandfather clocks with Vecna, I feel like that's kind of like the first little tip-off that this is something bigger than they know, and that's kind of like the through line. I don't know.
So I have a question for you, just something that popped into my head just now.
Okay.
You know, we've been all about, you know, did they have this plan from the beginning? And our mindset is that in season 1, no.
Yeah.
That, you know, they left enough open threads where if they wanted to do something, they could. I think that's what season 1 was.
Yeah.
And in season 2, we kind of had this idea that, yes, we think this is where they started writing with an overarching plot in mind.
Mm-hmm.
But I was just thinking about the final scene of the season where, you know, we go back to the Upside Down to see the Mind Flayer watching them at the Winter Snowball or whatever, or listening to the music over the state gymnasium.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me wonder, again, did they have this plan? Because they were very clear about setting up the Mind Flayer as an ongoing villain. And it makes me think, you know, was there supposed to be someone behind the Mind Flayer, or is that something they wrote in later? Because typically speaking, with a show like this, or honestly, most shows where you're ramping up on big bads, and I watched a lot of Power Rangers and stuff as a kid, when you had a new bad guy coming,
mm-hmm.
you ended the season with a tease to that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you're not teasing a bigger bad, then it's kind of out of left field when you say someone else was in charge the whole time. Season 2 doesn't do that, and Season 3 doesn't either.
Are we sure about that?
I'm pretty sure.
I don't remember much of Season 3. So that's how I'm going to answer your question. I'm going to have to wait until we watch like Season 3 just to see that, because if like you said the tease for the big bad wouldn't necessarily come until Season 3 when they're introducing it in Season 4.
Right, but I guess what I'm saying is, did they know they were going to introduce a new villain in Season 4?
So,
I'm just playing devil's advocate here.
I know.
The way they structured it is suspect.
I get it. Well, now you're against me now.
I'm not, because I still think that whole grandfather clock thing was 110% intentional. I'm just wondering if they had a clear vision of like, oh, Vecna is in charge of the Mind Flayer.
I don't know that they had necessarily had a clear vision, but I think they were... Okay, and this is my thought process, and I'm just going to be speaking out loud right now, so it's probably going to sound really rambly, and I apologize. I think, yes, because they've always kind of been playing with the idea of somebody, of something else being in control of something else.
You mean like the theme of other people being in control, like... Brenner is in charge. Things like that.
Yeah. So, like in Season 1, Brenner is in control of Eleven, clearly. But I didn't even mean that. I meant like, okay, Will is not in control of Will anymore. He is being controlled by the Mind Flayer.
Right.
And then, you know, and nothing else kind of, nothing can really think for themselves because they're all connected to this hive mind thing. And that has been the through line from moving on.
You're thinking, what is the hive mind's will?
Not
Will the person.
I'm just saying like, there has been an overarching thing of something else controlling something else. In Season 2, Will is being controlled by the Mind Flayer. You were introduced to the Hive Mind. Nothing everything is connected.
Yeah.
Season 3, Billy is being controlled by the Mind Flayer. And he is then controlling all of these other little branches that become of it. And then in Season 4, we find out that the Mind Flayer has not been in control this whole time. Even though we thought he was, something else was controlling it. So I'm just saying it's like a trickle down kind of thing. Like in each season, I don't know. And you're making looking at me like, you're so stupid.
No, you're making a really good point. That's the thing. But that good point that you're making makes the show seem less original in my mind. Like, they're pulling the same trick every season.
But they would be.
You're right. They are. That's what they're doing.
That would be what is happening if they've known what they were doing from the get-go. Then yes, they would be pulling the same trick every season.
Yeah,
because they would need to in order to have everything connect.
Yeah.
The way we are trying to determine if they're connecting, the way they've said it connects. So I feel like it would need to be that way.
Right. The Demogorgon is attacking people. Haha, no, the Demogorgon's controlled by the Mind Flayer, so is Will. Haha, they broke the control. The Mind Flayer is now controlling Billy, who's controlling other people. Haha, the Mind Flayer was never in control in the first place. It's Vecna!
Okay, Wadsworth.
Sorry, yeah, no, this is feeling very Clue.
But that's like that. I feel like that is the best way to kind of explain.
Yeah, you're right.
Your question or what your. You know, thinking or concern, whatever you want to call it. Like,
yeah, I'm picking up what you're putting down. You're saying that, yes, you think it was intentional because that's the only way the story works.
Right. And you can even take it a little bit further with, okay, why the use of Master of Puppets.
Ooh, yeah.
Master of Puppets pulling your strings. Everything has been being controlled by this entity, this person that is the big bad that we didn't know is the big bad. We just assumed these bigger things that get bigger each season is the big bad, but they're really not.
You know what's interesting? If you kind of break that down even further, it's basically just a cycle of abuse. Because when it comes back to Henry / Vecna / One, he was being controlled by Brenner.
Who we know.
Although he's very clear, I mean, that Brenner didn't make him what Brenner he is.
But it's true. He got that thing put in his neck so that Brenner could stop him from being able to use his powers. Now, that was really smart on Brenner, because we see what happens after he can use his powers.
You know, it would have been smarter from Brenner getting rid of him.
Right. Don't make him an orderly.
Don't let the murderer keep. Don't keep the murderer around children.
Right.
Who also have superpowers. Jesus Christ, Brenner. That Brenner comic better give us some strong context
I need to get some intel.
But yeah, that's interesting, because you can look at Stranger Things from that lens. Like, it's just cycles of abuse and people breaking them, either on their own or through the help of friends and family.
Right. It's that. Yeah.
That's cool. That's really cool.
It's deep.
Hawkins Hellfire Collective. That's cool.
And it just also furthers my wanting for season 5 to end and they all go to therapy, because by golly, do they need it.
Oh, yeah. Hardcore. But if we're going to be real for a second about your boy, this whole conversation has me just sitting back thinking, like, there's no way they don't bring Eddie back. Only because if they're going to keep dealing with these cycles of control and abuse, like, it's a no-brainer.
I know.
Okay.
No.
I wasn't trying to get you weepy.
I'm not actually crying.
She says that.
I really want it. I really want it. Everybody who listens to it knows I really want it. But I don't know that it's going to happen. We have our theories and our thoughts and everything, but I really don't know. So I'm just holding on to some hope, but not a lot. But I agree.
I don't know. I think it would be a massive missed opportunity if they didn't do something with that.
Here's the thing, though. Joseph Quinn has blown up. So
that's true. They're gonna have to pay.
They are gonna have to pay him good, and they're gonna have to do some real hardcore talks and that, because he's gonna be starring in the new A Quiet Place movie with Lupita Nyong'o, which she's gorgeous. I can go on. And I'm pretty sure that started filming or is going to start filming soon. I don't know when they're supposed to start filming season 5.
We also don't know how big his part is in that movie, right?
I think he's supposed to be like the main guy.
Oh, okay. Never mind.
Yeah. I think he's got like a chunky boy part.
Gotcha. Full of chunk. Okay.
Yeah. But I don't know. I worry on the more logistical side of things.
How do we make this
work? How do they make it work? Not story-wise. I don't care. Bring him back however you need to with the story. Just bring him back. But.
What? Yeah. So this season 2 wrap-up really got away from us.
It did.
But we
talked about lots of stuff. This one... I don't know.
It's a stepping stone season. There's a lot of good stuff in it.
There is a lot of good stuff, and it introduces you to that Mind Flayer, which it ends with you seeing it again overlooking the school, so you know that
this threat isn't over.
It's not over.
Yeah.
You know, that's a big thing.
Stark contrast to season 1. Because in season 1, that ending could have just been an ending. There was no, what else is out there? Like, this, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing we could talk about, like, Eleven's mom a little bit, but we don't see her again. So it's kind of...
Yeah, and I kind of have a feeling we're not going to.
Yeah, like, it was there to help, you know, Eleven get some closure, I feel like.
Yeah.
Which is good. It gives her what she needs, but it doesn't drive the full plot of this season. This
season. And honestly, like, unless they're going to pull a 180 and have us go back to Terry to kind of say, oh, well, no, she wasn't trying to point her towards Callie. Mm-hmm. This was happening. This other thing is what she was getting at. Because when you go back, it really doesn't make any sense that she was trying to push 11 towards 8.
Right.
Like, why?
Right. What was the purpose of that?
Yeah, there's no, like, as her mother, why is she doing that? Or is it just that she was caught in that loop? She wasn't trying to push her towards 8. She was stuck in that loop, and 8 was just part of that loop. To me, that's a better idea.
I think, and because they're, I don't think they're going to go back to 8, because of that, I think that that's an okay thing to think. You know, that mm-hmm. that's why, and 11 just took it as, oh, she wants me to meet my sister.
Mama wants me to go find my sister.
When in reality, it is like you said, she's just stuck in that time loop and can't get out of it.
Yeah, Mama just wanted to see you, and this is how she made that happen.
Right.
That's it.
Right. Which, you're okay. I'm okay with it.
I'm perfectly fine with that.
That's fine. You can write them off.
Bloop, bloop, question done. For you. Mm-hmm. Did I don't remember, when in our previous Between These Seasons episode, did I get into the story of the other kids?
No.
Because
you said you weren't going to in that Between the Seasons.
Okay, yeah, because there is, we do see Callie again for a split second in one of the Stranger Things comics. I think I'll probably, we could do an entire episode just on those stories.
I was going to say, because you initially said you weren't going to talk about them because they're not canon.
Right.
We're only, like, the Between the Seasons episodes that we do here on Hawkins Hellfire Collective, those comics are, that we talk about, like, specifically are the canon ones.
Right.
So you said you weren't really going to talk about them because they're not considered canon anymore.
Yeah, I think if anything, we could do an individual episode on just those stories, talking about, you know, what could have been.
Yeah.
But Callie does make an appearance, and to me, that even more so solidifies that she's not coming back.
Didn't it make you, like, not like her even more?
Yeah. Yeah, it was terrible. They captured her character perfectly because she was awful. Anyway.
I didn't read them.
You need to. It's very good. These are very good stories, and it really makes you, it made me think, wow, season 4 could have been even better if they didn't force all the kids to have the same power.
Yeah.
Anyway. I guess that's really it for season 2, right? I don't think we're missing anything that we
hit on. I think
we
touched on the big points, the new characters, some of the, you know, the driving thing. Otherwise, it's going to be like a 4-hour episode if we're just going to sit here and talk about every episode one by one.
Yeah, that's true.
You know? We already did that. You should have listened.
You should have listened. I think last note for me is probably just that we still like Mike this season. He was still a driving force throughout the season.
I said this had good friendship moments.
Yeah, it really did. Mike's character has not been assassinated yet.
No, that doesn't happen until next season.
Or does it?
We don't really remember.
I don't really remember. I'm wondering if there were signs of Mike's character cracking in season 3. We're really going to have to dig in there.
Yeah, I don't really remember. I just remember binging this season 3 on the 4th of July and eating Burger King because Burger King was running like a Stranger Things promo, and we were like, oh, let's get Burger King. It's down the street.
We were still pretty new to our house at that point, weren't we?
Well, we moved in April.
Yeah, we're pretty new.
So we were fairly new.
You're just like, hey, there's Burger King down the street. I don't think we've eaten there yet.
That's not true. We had eaten there before.
Okay.
But but yeah, that's all I remember. And unlike this season, we didn't watch season 3 again after we binged it.
No, we didn't. We never rewatched it.
No, like we binged season 2 and then rewatched it because we were like, we need to rewatch this.
And I think we even rewatched season one in anticipation of season two.
Yes, so we did.
Season three is our only season that hasn't been rewatched at all.
Yeah. Because I immediately watched season four after we finished season four.
We both did.
Four.
Yeah, yes, we rewatched season four immediately.
You watched it with me. But I put it on.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we have some learning to do.
We
for
do.
Season
we
three.
Really do.
Yeah. But I'm excited.
Me
too. Excited to get some Scoops Ahoy, Steve.
His little
sailor outfit.
You can't see it, but I'm doing the Steve and Dustin thing where he like pretend stabs him with a lightsaber.
They're so cute.
Yeah.
Are all your friends children? Okay. Well, I won't.
Yes, they are.
I won't quote it. But yeah, so I mean that's all I have.
All right, I think we can wrap this one up. Thank you for joining us here at the Hawkins Hellfire Collective for our season two wrap up.
Oh, a little bit of a fun note. We'll let you know when it's going to air, but we were a guest on another Stranger Things podcast recently, Ham Radio Media.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to them. They were awesome.
It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun to, you know, have a conversation with another Stranger Things podcast and other Stranger Things fans. When that episode airs, obviously we'll let you know if you want to give it a listen. Give them a listen. They're really cool. They do some like script readings
yeah.
and stuff too, which is fun. So when that airs, we'll let you know on here, and I'll
and
also
Instagram.
Post it on the Instagram. And yeah, that's
hey, if you're another that. If you're another Stranger Things podcast out there, we would love to do that again. That was
yeah.
a lot of fun.
Yeah, we would definitely do it again. And you know, our messages are always open on Instagram. So if you're a listener and you wanna, you know, say hey, give us one of your theories.
Hit us up in the DMs. Hit up our DMs.
Hit up, slide into those DMs, yeah. and we can have a little conversation. We like talking to other fans and theorizing. It's really cool. So,
yeah, good times. Yeah.
All right. Well, on that note, I'm Devin Grubb.
I'm Zach Grubb.
Dusty Buns gets it done.